Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Suffering is abounding, as is sin, as it has around us, especially this hard week. A tragic fire in London, as contractors admitted not only that automatic sprinklers were not installed, but also that the product used on the outside of the 24-story building was not fire-resistant, as it was supposed to be, but a cheaper look-alike. An angry man shooting members of Congress with whom he disagreed, 6 years after another angry man shot a member of Congress with whom he disagreed. A woman convicted for urging her boyfriend to complete his suicide attempt, which he then did. People of color in our country feeling even more terrorized at the prospect of being stopped by police for a broken taillight. And victims of sexual violence are experiencing flashbacks again, as a powerful man was given great deference. In our gospel today, Jesus warned his disciples that they would suffer. And Paul knew that the Christian community in Rome was suffering, had suffered, and that was why he encouraged them in our second reading. And even though the Exodus community was not suffering at the particular moment depicted in today's first reading, we who have read both earlier in the book and farther know the amount of suffering that they experienced. Those Israelites who were gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai said yes to the covenant God was proposing, the special relationship that God offered, the laws that God set out. So they said to Moses, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." They were chosen by God with special responsibility, not just to do God's law, but to be alert to God, to be in such constant contact with God that they recognize an answer to prayer, to know God so well that they could detect when it is God who is doing something new, and then they could respond appropriately, to do justice when needed, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God, to follow whatever new thing God is doing, to consider the implications of their acts. But we know how poorly they kept their word. "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Not exactly. They lived in sin, the sin that is the same as the very first sin of Adam and Eve, failing to trust God, failing to trust in God's steadfast love and faithfulness to all generations. Adam and Eve could have asked God about what the serpent said. In the community of believers, fails to trust God, when they don't talk together about the implications of an issue and then agree, as the early Christians did in Acts chapter 15, verse 28, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. The Israelites in the wilderness could have asked God or even discerned together if it was indeed God's will for them to worship a calf they had made from their gold. But they did not. They failed to trust in the power of God who created them and saved them and guided them. Jesus sent his 12 closest disciples, the laborers he could count on the most, to go to the lost sheep of Israel, the descendants of those people who exclaimed, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The same ones who turned away and whose descendants kept on turning away. Jesus warned his disciples that some of the people to whom he sent them would reject them and the good news they proclaimed. They would be rejected even by people whose house looks worthy, who have good reputations among their neighbors, who think they know God's will. They will not wonder if God is doing a new thing, as God did so often throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus went on to promise trials before powerful men, betrayal by family, hatred, and death for the laborers he sent on this harvest task. Guaranteed suffering. When Jesus sent his disciples out to do this work, he told them to find in each town a worthy house. But we are Lutherans, so we know that no one is worthy. As St. Paul wrote to the Romans, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, someone who is good at keeping God's law. For a good person, which is defined from the word that he uses as one who is full of compassion, for a good person, someone might die. But no one wants to die for sinners, except Jesus did. Jesus died for all the sinners of the world. Farm after farm, house after house, nation after city, after town, after field of unworthies. That is how God proves God's love for us sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't wait for us to become worthy. He would be still waiting. To us, Jesus has entrusted his ministry of reconciliation, to go out into the world not just to the worthy houses, but to the unworthy too, and show God's love. We are the laborers sent out into the harvest of the worthies and the unworthies, to the rich and to the poor, to the white and to the black. To God, we are one community. And after this week of suffering, by so many in many communities, I offer you these words of Martin Luther. If you want to live in a community, you must share the community's burdens, dangers, and injuries, even though not you, but your neighbor has caused them. You must do this in the same way that you enjoy the peace, profit, protection, wealth, freedom, and security of the community, even though you have not won them or brought them into being. I share the reputation of Cheltenham, where a horrific fight in a high school hallway resulted in a teacher getting a concussion and several others hurt. I had nothing to do with that, yet my property values will take a hit. And I learned this week that my property taxes will be going up to pay for efforts to address the causes of violence in the Cheltenham School District. Londoners are starting to take responsibility for the injuries done to the residents of Grenfell Tower. Injuries done because they were poor and did not have the political power to ensure that laws protecting them would be enforced. After the shooting in Alexandria, Virginia this week, calls have gone out to stop the worst of the partisan anger and fighting. Even those who for years threatened violence with a gun against the previous president have promised not to use language of violence. It is a start. Mother Teresa is said to have written, "We are not called to be successful, but to be faithful." Jesus and St. Paul said as much too. We can expect to encounter suffering and sin, including inside of us. No matter how loudly we say, everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do, we still fall short. Yet we are the ones called to be God's people. We are the ones who expect of ourselves to keep in contact with God in prayer and in discerning what God's good and gracious will is for us in our time. We are the ones called as laborers in communities where good news is needed, where justice is crying to be done in Jesus' name. We do these things, for God's love has been poured into our hearts. Amen.